greet all of you for this evening's Brahmi Mohana Lila Katha. We left off yesterday when Lord Krishna had looked all over Vrindavan for his devotees, the cowherd boys and the calves, but could not find them. And the Bhagavatam says, when it speaks about Krishna as he walks with a handful of butt, what means fruit rice, but means also bhakta, with a handful of bhaktas, all over the Vrindavan to find the cowherd boys. Bhagavatam says Krishna was a natyam at that time, an actor. Outside he was calling out for his friend, Manumangal, Ahamatra, I'm here, where are you? But inside he was thinking, this is Brahma's action. He has placed all my associates in another place by his magic. But Brahma has not done this with bad intention. I think it's nice to study the mind of the Lord. It is said the Lord doesn't have a place in his heart for the mistakes of his devotees. He just doesn't see mistakes. We conditioned souls, or sometimes all what we see is mistakes, our own, the mistakes of others. But Krishna just doesn't look like this. So he said, Brahma has stolen these boys, but he didn't have a bad intention. I once was in Mayapur, and there was a Chapal Chora with a shoe, a sandal thief, you know, this poor man who was stealing shoes, Western Birkenstock shoes, from the devotees, and was then selling them on some shoe black market. And the other Indians found him, so when they saw the thief, they just packed him, grabbed him, they took one chapal shoe, just beating him, because he had made a mistake. He had stolen their shoes, and it's uncomfortable to walk without shoes. But, you know, Brahma has stolen Krishna's friends, not just some shoes. Krishna thought in his mind, he doesn't have bad intentions. He has done this to benefit all of my devotees in Braj, out of love for me. His intelligence is not at all offensive. He knows that I, though sleeping, am continually awake with my intelligence and strength. I never sleep. I see everything. I will now show my skills to him. Yoga, who knows my intentions, will assist me. Yoga Maya. Therefore, I will take her assistance. And I will now personally take the forms of all the boys and all the calves. By this, the inhabitants of Braj and Lord Brahma will relish supreme bliss. And then, my dear devotees, I want to say what Krishna did then. It's just so outstanding that I want to chant what he did.
Shila guna vidakriti vayo, yeah.
to the exact number of busy crowded boys and cars, with their exact bodily features, their particular types of hands, their legs, their other limbs, their sticks, their bugles, and their flutes, their lunch bags, their particular types of dress and ornaments, placed in various ways. Geschlechts painted themselves in their names, their ages and forms, and their special activities and characteristics. By expanding himself in this way, beautiful Krishna proved the statement Samagra Jagat Vishnumaya, Lord Vishnu is all pervading. So Krishna, let's just look at this. Lord Krishna took his Vasudeva feature and expanded himself into the missing calves and boys. Now the expanded boys and calves look exactly the same as the original set. For instance, their mood was like exactly the same. Manu Mangala is a good example. He's a little round and he has a pot belly. And he always jokes about food, you know. He says, the real rasa and the real taste is the taste of ladus. No one knows this, and then everyone, you know, laughs about this prasadam joke. And their manners, they're exactly the same. The way they behave, the gestures which they made. And one of the child's clothes was a little ripped, you know. So when Krishna expanded himself into that cowherd boy's form, he also had a very exactly the same ripped type of cloth. And in this way, Krishna was just exactly the same. He was the perfect copy. But not just looking at it by the looks, but by the manner, the rules, and so on. Krishna wanted to make sure that at the same time, no one, not even his own brother, would understand what he was doing. And especially wanted to make sure that Brahma would not notice anything. Now to understand what Krishna just did, I would like you to remember in your mind one of your friends. Let us say the best friend. Some of you don't have best friends, you have many friends. So just pick one of them. And then just imagine what it would take to expand into the same type of person. You would have the same size, the same twinkle of the eyes. If he would belch, he would have to belch in the same way as the original one. Everything, that's not so difficult, and it's not so easy, you know. Just even to copy someone on a painting is difficult. So just think, what would it mean to duplicate your best friend? soul. You may ask yourself the question, why didn't Krishna chastise Brahma? Why did he just belittle his intelligence? And the answer is, if Krishna has once accepted someone, he will always be very kind to him. I personally believe that all of us are already accepted by Krishna. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, someone who just worships me should be seen as a sadhu, even though he makes mistakes. Krishna doesn't see that. So, Krishna just called to himself, who was, you know, the cowboy voice in the cart. Okay, boys. And he played with his flutes. Okay, cars, let's go home. And everyone said, take it. And they all went with Krishna. They played on their handpipes, on their flutes. They danced, they joked with Krishna. Krishna joked with them. And Krishna carries some of the cars, and the cars looked at him with big eyes and tears filled eyes. Krishna did many things until he came just before the village of Vrindavan. Then he said, stop. Everyone stopped, and he said, now everyone takes his calves. Up to now we all have one big ocean of calves, and you all go to your respective homes. So the boys separated, they said goodbye to Krishna, although they were Krishna. And they went to the houses where their parents were. When they were before the houses of the parents, something amazing happened. You must know, they took their flutes and began to play a very nice raga. And their parents, you know, this is Krishna, of course, the mothers heard this flute song, which announced the homecoming of their boys. And they came out, they felt drawn by the flute song, because something was special. Something was different, but they didn't know what it was. They felt just more attracted to come along. You must know, when Krishna plays his flute, it's not just only good music. Krishna takes the love which is in his heart, and then this love rises up into his throat, and then he makes this, you know, sound. And his love goes into the flute, and out of the flute, into the hearts of those who can hear. And because they don't just hear some sound, they hear in a way, I can't express it in a better way than sound music. No, sound love. Sound love. Do you know what I'm trying to explain? It's not just, oh, love music. They hear love music, and they become extremely attracted to the flute song of Krishna. It's not just musical attraction. They respond to the love of Krishna, which called them. And that's why Krishna's flute is one of the most outstanding features of the Lord. No one plays the flute like him, because no one knows to make God love music. You know, it's not something only Krishna's unique feature. Krishna has four unique features which differentiates him from everyone else. And this one of them is his Venu Maduya. It's very sweet. So these women of Braj had already, they had their cowherd boys were with Krishna, but they had also little babies which they were breastfeeding. Normally, if you are a mother, you always like your last born child the most, because this now nature is made it so that the little babies get the maximum amount of love. Maybe you, some of you have babies, have children, grown up, and they get babies. You will always like your babies most. Also the Pitajis will love the babies most. The babies have this charm of being so slinky, slinky and so sweet. Because they do need the extra care of their parents. But when these cow women, these gopikas, heard the flute music of Krishna in the form of their own boys, they dropped their babies and they ran out. They took their little boys on their lap. They smelled their hairs, which is a sign of affection. I know we don't do this in Germany. And they began to smear oil on them. They gave them a bath, and they did everything they used to do on any other day with their boys. But on this day, it was 100 times more affection and love, because they received Krishna at home. They had always thought, oh, if Krishna would only come to home. Sometimes they would make yogurt and butter, and while they would do this on every parent, they would think, I hope Krishna comes and steals this. They were so much absorbed in the love of Krishna. It's very difficult to express. And they loved their boys only with the thought that my boy is a friend of Krishna. That's why I love him. You know, they teach us how to relate to the other devotees. With great respect and love, you should think, this person, this Krishna does, this Ojashvi does, this Manu does, this Godahari does, is a friend of God. I will love and respect him. So this is how the rich Vasis take care of their own children. They love them because really they feel they are with Krishna. Jiva Goswami tells us that the year when Krishna stood in for the Gopas, the elderly gopis' love for their boys, the Krishna boys, was twice the amount of Yashoda. Now, when I told this in Vrindavan, some devotees who felt very much attached to Yashoda came to me and said, Maharaj, you're speculating. No one can love Krishna and double the way as Yashoda loves Krishna. And I think in some ways these devotees are correct. But in other ways, they must meditate about one fact. That when these cowherd ladies receive their Krishna voice and they love them so much, Krishna, who responds always to the love of his devotees, love them back, also in a super ecstatic way. Now, cowherd ladies and cowherd men felt that tremendous love of the Krishna boys. I call them the Krishna boys. You know whom I'm referring to. Their love doubled, and it became, and then Krishna's love doubled, and it became an unlimited mountain of love which was there in Braj. And my dear devotees, this is what you need to understand if you want to understand the secret of Krishna Bhakti. We all look in this world for the ideal partner, a friend who can understand us and who can take care of us, a friend who is responding to our life. But no one can take the place of Krishna. And this is a source of frustration in immature relationships, where we want the partner to be exactly the way how we want him to draw him in our planning board. You know, they will never do it like this. But Krishna responds perfectly and in double and triple and five times as much as the quantity, because Krishna's only business is to increase love. So this desire for love, I think it is something you must all think about. When you place your love somewhere else, you will always be frustrated at your love. I once wrote a poem, I don't know how I can get it together here for you. And it goes a little bit like this: Oh Lord, don't trust me. Sometimes when you see me crying, you should know that I'm only crying for you. Although if someone would ask me, I would give my tears other names. Oh Lord, I have so many desires in my heart. But if you would look deep, 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 deep into the bottom of my heart, you will find your own beautiful face there, because I only want you. Then I say to the world, I want this. Don't trust me, because I only want you. I am a cursed soul. My words and my thoughts are different from what I really want to say and what I really think deep in my heart. Therefore, my love, when I say I want other things than you, don't trust me, but look deep into my heart, where you see only your own beautiful face. Which I wrote because I didn't feel an increasing amount of desire to be crystal clear in my relationship with Krishna. So I want to go on with you. The devotees of Vrindavan did not know that Krishna had expanded himself. The cows of Vrindavan did not know that the calves which they received in their bath were not their ordinary calves but Krishna. But although they did not know, they all felt their love increasing unlimitedly. Because philosophically, you know, everything has what is called a Vastu Shakti. Imagine there is a life via ein Draht und der Vollstrom, sagt man in Deutsch. A life via, you understand? And it is covered by straw. If you go over it barefoot, not recognizing there's a life via, because it's covered by straw, you would nevertheless feel the electricity and go. Your hair would go like this, your dhoti would go like this, because there's so much electricity. So anything about Krishna, even if you don't recognize it and see it as such, also has a Vastu Shakti which acts on you. For instance, the holy name. You may not see it as Krishna. You may be bored, yeah, but it will act on you. Or the holy Dham, which we will have a kidnapped you this evening again. I bring you to a Vrindavan Dham. When you are just moving there, although you don't know anything, you think this is India, Uttar Pradesh, a village beyond the poverty level, then it will nevertheless work on you. Even though you don't know, because if even an ordinary thing like a life fire is Vastu Shakti, how much Krishna is it? The Gopalachapani Upanishad says Matu Radham means Matu. Matu means that which churns and manifests. And when you have yogurt and you churn it, then butter will come out of it. So Mathura, Vrindavan, is the land which churns and Bhagavan becomes manifest. And you do in Mathura, Vrindavan, the processes of bhakti, chanting, hearing about Krishna. You will churn the ocean of rasa and Krishna will become manifest. That you cannot find in the West. Nothing is churned except for material desires. And they come out. And in Vrindavan, you do a little bhakti yoga practice, you churn out Krishna like butter from the yogurt. My dear devotees, it's worthwhile for us to remember these loving scenes so that we feel inspired in our search for love to join. It's worthwhile to remember in our eyes how Krishna jumped on the lap of Nanda Maharaj when he came home. And Nanda Maharaj has a beard, you know, it's this black hair, then white hair, black hair, white hair. It looks like pepper. It's a little beard. And he's afraid that my God, my beard will scratch the soft skin of my Krishna. object of and seek for Krishna's pleasure.
Thank you.
or 6 days before the year ended. Someone very important in Krishna Lila became suspicious. The person who thought something is different here was your brother. Remember, he had stayed home for his birthday with Krishna. His cowherd boyfriend's house was stolen. And Krishna wanted to keep his secret, so he hid himself, and Balaram didn't know anything about it. But because he's very, very perceptive and very much in tune with his little brother, he noticed something. And the way he noticed it was a very wonderful. Krishna had gone on that day out with the cowherd boys and the calves. They had gone by the side of Govardhana. Manasiganda, and everyone had drunk from the water, the cowherd boys, together with the calves. And then they had continued on to Radhakrat. That time, the elder cowherd men with the cows, remember Krishna, the boys were only in the small. The calves. They were on the top of the Govardhan mountain and something happened. The cows looked down the mountain and saw the calves. And they fed the Krishna calves, the ones who were expanded by Krishna. And they felt such a pull in their hearts that they began a stampede. They ran down the hill to give their milk to the calves. The cowherd men wanted to stop them with sticks, but the cows were so eager that they jumped over the head of the cowherd men. And they started to run down. Shukadeva Goswami describes that the humps on the cows' bodies were just dancing up and down, you know, and somehow they jumped, and the hind legs came to the front legs, and it looked as if they were just jumping down on two sets of legs, not four. And when they came down, they just suckled their calf. Now the cow felt a mixture of anger and shame. Anger because they had not done their job as experienced cowherd men very well. And that gave them a feeling of shame. They came running down the steep paths and they wanted to get their cows back because they didn't want that all the milk was drunken up by the greedy calves. Then they came down and saw the little Krishna boys. It's difficult for me to explain it because it's a difficult subject matter. The boys who were really not the boys, but in some ways, yes. But who were just the Krishna boys? I can't only explain it like this. Then the cowherd men saw these boys. They felt so much love in their heart that they took the boys to their chest. They smelled their heads and they cried tears of ecstasy and they forgot all their anger and shame. And only with great effort, after a long time, could they separate from the boys. Balaram saw this. He thought, this is not normal. I've never seen this. had seized the love of the inhabitants of Brash. It's Vardhati. Vardhati means increasing. There's a name of Krishna called Ananda Vardha. It means this Ananda is always increasing. So Prabhupada said, the love is always increasing. It's just that the voice, the cow's love for the calves is increasing. The cowman's love for the boys is increasing. Without any end, and I also feel my love for these boys. More, I love them just like Krishna. Then he thought, my God, I am a Maya. Something is going on. Is this some demon who's working here in Braj? No, I can't be deluded by a magician. This doesn't work. In my case, I'm beyond the influence of ordinary demon magic and human magic. There's only one Maya which can even bewilder me, and that is Krishna's yoga mind. Could it be that my little brother, who is supposed to listen to me, his older brother, has put me into Maya? Yeah, Krishna, come with me now. Feeling he looked a little bit. His older brother, Balaram. Happy, happy brother. Come with me. So he walked after Balaram. Krishna, have you put me in Maya?
Days a little bit here. Please stay home after all your birthday.
many things to tell them. You know, what was happening with Brahma? Brahma, after he had put the cowherd boys and the calves into a cave somewhere in the universe, he came back. He didn't feel entirely comfortable, so he arranged for little beds in the caves, so that the boys, the stolen boys, they're sleeping on beds with silken coverings. But and as he came back and said, let me see what Krishna is doing now. And then he saw that calves and cowherd boys were still there. He felt in his heart perplexed and bewildered. Quickly he returned to his own abode to look if he had made a mistake. But no, the cowherd boys and calves that were stolen, they're still there. So after one truity, it is time. That's the truity is the time which it takes for a needle to go to 15 leaves of lotus. You know, you have 15 lotus leaves, and then you go with a needle through. That's a truity. It's like after a truity pass this time. This little time was a whole year. Or to give you an example, we started to talk here 20 minutes after 6. And the small, if you look there, the small index, the small, how do you call it? Move maybe 2 centimeters forward. But the other handle, the long hand, right, has moved one and a half times around the clock. So while in Brahma's time, very slow on the earth, and then moved for a whole year. When he came back after what was a moment in his time, but which was a year on planet's earth time, he actually saw that everyone was still there, and Brahma was perplexed. Must know, if Brahma becomes perplexed, it's something else than if you become perplexed. You may become perplexed at every meter that you walk in life. But Brahma, he is the father of all of us. He knows the activities of all souls in this world. In whatever he does, he's the greatest. He's the greatest creator. He's the greatest guru. You know, he's the guru of our Parampara, of our Brahma Sampradaya. Brahma is best in meditation. And what he did is, he sat down and he said, I will invoke the chakra of omni knowledge. What is it called? Omniscience. Thank you, omniscience. To check this out, to find this out. But he couldn't come to an answer. He did not know what was happening to him. He became totally bewildered. When he came down, he saw Krishna. He jumped off from his swan and he walked through the forest of Braj. What have I done? What have I done? I have challenged the Lord, my own Lord. I am a very foolish person. I have made fear of offense against the Lord. And finally, Krishna knew Brahma is around. He came closer and closer and closer, almost like a murderer who, once he has committed this terrible act of aggression, has to always revisit the scene. So he came to Braj. He came to the spot where Krishna was standing, like a little boy with his hands still full of sweet rice. And he looked at Krishna. And at that moment, Krishna smiled and did something so wonderful that I have to again read this to you in Sanskrit, because I just can't explain it to you in a better way. Chaturbhuja Shankha Chakra Gada Rajiva Panaya Kirtina Kundali Noharina Padamalina Shriva Sangha Rado Ratna Kambukam Kanava
devotees. I have found the course.
Vrindavan Prabhupada writes, there is a place where there was no temple, but a devotee desired, let there be a temple in Seva. And this is coming, you know, because last purpose, he said, to understand that no one and nothing is independent from Krishna, to understand that everyone and everything moves under the control of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. So Brahma saw the loving dealings of the Lord who loved his devotees and who maintained his devotees. And as he was seeing millions of Vasudevas, you know, these four-armed forms of the Lord, he couldn't move any longer. He was just like a doll, is described by Shukadeva Goswami, who comes before the village lady. This is all amazing. Krishna, one thing, Brahma, you worship Vasudev, no? You are worship of Vasudev. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You like him so much, look here, millions of them coming from me. Krishna, very joking, very playful. So then Brahma saw all this. He rubbed his eyes and he just was fainting and he couldn't move on any longer. And Krishna was merciful to him. He removed all the different scenes which he had shown Brahma, all these four different forms. I'm trying to find something for you here. And Brahma could see for the first time Vrindavan, the real Vrindavan, which was shown to him by Krishna. Goswami describes what Brahma saw with the eyes of humility. You can see Vrindavan or Krishna only with the eyes of humility. And Krishna had made Brahma humble. He saw Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, that there is no longer anger or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendships. So he saw the transcendental Vrindavan, which he had not seen before, the tigers and deers and humans and monkeys live together. Prabhupada comments about this. Would you like to hear Prabhupada's comment?
Yes.
We are afraid of the dark forest and do not wish to go there. But in the dark of the forest, animals are as good as demigods, for they have no envy. Envy develops amongst human beings because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity, and thus there is no envy. Now Prabhupada describes now what is a transcendental movement. No envy is there. Now Prabhupada puts a doubt there. Brahma is sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious, because they cause mischief and steal food. Not only food, the monkeys steal glasses and want bananas, you know. But in Vrindavan we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter. It's okay, which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. instruction for us as devotees. Why should I, the Swami, eat better food than you, the Bhakta? Why should there not be love and affection? Why should I not like someone who has a different, slightly different idea, or who has become a little bit distanced? Why should I live and the other should not have his place? I believe we will also have a Vrindavan consciousness in our society if we learn what Brahma sees here. He saw Vrindavan as a transcendental abode of the Lord, and there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live together in transcendental friendship. I need to tell you something. In Varshana, 50 years ago, there was one sadhu who had one special disciple. He was a lion. Sadhu was hungry, he sent his lion disciples. Disciple is just one. The little bag for chapatis around to make some chapatis from the Brijvasis. When they heard the scratch of the lion on the door, open the door. Ooh, lion grows here. his name humbly, and he will open the doors for you wider than the ocean.
Bye.
comes down from his swan carrier. He has seen what he needs to see. Krishna is his Lord. He's the origin of millions of Vasudevs. There are saints and sages worshipping him with great intensity. Brahma throws himself down into the dust of Vrindavan. You must know that Brahma usually never touches the planet Earth with his feet. Devatas just don't walk in Frankfurt. But here, he throws himself on the ground. It's a little difficult because he has four heads. So as he puts two heads down on the ground, two others look up and look into Krishna's eyes. And he feels so ecstatic to see Krishna's eyes that he jumps up. But then he remembers, oh no, I offended Krishna. And he again throws himself down. Shukadeva Goswami said, he did this repeatedly, that means again and again. He made his obeisances, he got up, he made his obeisances. It was not easy. And then he started to cry. And this tears, my dear devotees, are very important. The temple of Krishna is bathed. To a bath. Water is collected from seven oceans. Sometimes jewel water is used. But what Abhishek or Bhava do you think is appreciated most by Krishna? Is it the valuable bath made from golden pots? Is it maybe a holy river like the Ganga water? My dear devotees, that bath which pleases Krishna the most, the bath of tears, tears of repentance, tears when the devotee feels sorry. I have forgotten you, my Lord. I have forgotten that you are my Lord. So Brahma had arrived at this place. He had arrived at this kind of consciousness. He was crying tears of repentance and separation. Prabhupada writes, the word Sujaya indicates that his tears were purified. As soon as bhakti or devotion is somewhere present, everything gets purified. Even your salt water tears are becoming pure tears when they are done with bhakti. And they miss Krishna very much. One of my god brothers who left his body, he once said, Satchinandan Swami, no one will walk out of this world. We have to crawl, we have to leave the body, crawling on our bellies, crying tears of repentance. Devotees have no other shelter than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, naturally, they cry to him for help. Exactly like children who do not know anything but the protection of their parents. Prabhupada said, this is how you should chant. Chant with tears. He said, the chanting is the spiritual call for the Lord and his energy to give protection to the conditioned soul. This chanting exactly like the genuine cry of a child for his mother. This is a moment of tears. I know the jars will go. A child cannot cry, it will die. If the child sits there and is dumb, that means it can't talk, it can't cry. Since that's very bad. But how will we know what the child wants? How will, when there's danger for the child, how will the child make himself known? And also the eye, which has no water, will become dry and will become dysfunctional. So in devotional service, if you can't put some feelings to your practice and cry for Krishna, your eye will remain dry, so dry, and your vision won't work. Even eyeglasses won't help you. Srila Prabhupada encouraged crying for Krishna. He said, tears for Krishna are as good as associating personally with Krishna. He said, in a letter to one of my God sisters, your feeling and tears of Krishna consciousness will make you more enriched in spiritual advancement. And he said in another time, in other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn the small technique, and he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolya, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. So dry. Why are we so proud? Why are we so disconnected? We have made a terrible mistake coming into this world by desiring something else than Krishna. Now to go back, we have to desire only Krishna. If the desire is very strong, you will desire the tears in your eyes. And then Krishna knows, my devotee is ready now. Really, Krishna appreciates the tears of his devotee, crying with genuine feelings of repentance and separation, more, 100 times more than the river Ganga water. Saw that this Brahma is rising and falling, rising and falling, rising and falling. He looked at him and didn't think and didn't say anything. But Krishna thought, what is this person doing with his four hands? I'm just a little cowboy boy. Say some prayers for forgiveness, and he kneeled down before Krishna, who was standing there as Mukunda, a little boy curly hairs, a peacock feather, and in his hand was still the sweet rice, you know. And he said, I better say some words of forgiveness. And Krishna just looked at him. Brahma said, said you are the origin of all universe, Krishna. And what is he saying? So, but then Krishna is so happy. And this shows you a little bit how Krishna is. He saw that the four mouths of Brahma were talking simultaneously, as if there was strings controlling the four mouths. They were all, you know, one mouth was going like this, the other like this, all the same. Then Krishna did. She said, "Wow, he thought it's so funny." This is the sweetness of Krishna in Vrindavan. This is what Brahma could not understand. He thought the creator has to be very serious, but now the one Krishna was running and joking with his friends out of love and love only. You want to understand Krishna? You have to know. Brahma could not understand at first, but now he understood. And after he had ended his very famous prayers, which I can't recite now for to you because our time is almost up. After Brahma had spoken so many wonderful prayers, he thought, how greatly fortunate Ananda Maharaj. How greatly fortunate are the cowherd men and all the other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their fortune because the supreme truth has appeared as a little boy. And because he has so much affection for this land of Vrindavan and the beauty of love in Vrindavan, he said this famous prayer, Tamburi Bahakyam Iha Janma Kim Aptavyam. My greatest good fortune would be to take any birth whatsoever in the forest of Gokula and have my hand bathed or bathed with the dust which drops from the feet of any of its residents here. Brahma thought, even if the Brijvasis come home after working on the fields and they wash their feet and all the dust comes, I want to be a stone there. I want to be bathed in all this foot water. This was his appreciation for Vrindavan. Brahma, in other verse, had his vision corrected. First he saw Vrindavan was one thing, then Krishna was just a little playful child. But now he could see it was the highest form of the kingdom of love. I want to sing with you now for the end a little bit, and we will see. I will kidnap you to Vrindavan. I don't know how you will be able to see, but you can maybe sit on my head. But you can also see maybe from the back.
I think we can push it a little more further so that all those who on the side.
We push it further.
Just come closer with that.
Oh, but they can see. There's a space, enough space, you know. In an Indian taxi, you can put it in another taxi.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Brahman is an address of the Lord. And then Vrindavan, Prabhupada said this very distinctly, is really not a material place in India. It is a state of consciousness. This state of consciousness is a certain level of consciousness where the Lord appears. Comes when we talk about Krishna and hear about him in the society or the assembly of devotees. And maybe as you hear about Krishna and try to understand him a little in such a wonderful association, you will see how your consciousness touches a little bit this sacred dimension, the dimension of Vrindavan, where you can meet Krishna. Prabhupada told me personally, he did not address me personally, but there was a lecture where I was present. I remember it was one day before we all took our plane to go back to Europe. From America, we were flying the next day to America. So it was one day before this. Prabhupada gave a lecture. He stopped in his lecture. He saw all of us and what I said. He said, "So how did you like Vrindavan?" And he said, "Very much. We are sad, but we leave." And Prabhupada said, "You have to understand that Vrindavan is not on the land bed. It is something much more. It's not just a place which exists in geographical space. Vrindavan is the place, is the level where Krishna reveals himself." And that's why we in this evening, these two evenings, yesterday and today, just trying to relish Krishna pastimes from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami and Bhagavad and some of the commentaries of the Acharyas. And please, if you wish to continue like this, take the Krishna book, take some transcendental literature, read about Krishna, talk about Krishna. Consciousness coming to you where Krishna is so present. So I want to thank you very much. Why? Because without such a wonderful audience, one cannot talk. One cannot talk to the four noblemen about Krishna and be inspired in the same way. There's been this wonderful audience. It's a give and take which takes place mutually. So I see you all tomorrow morning. We have the second part of that lecture series called The Final Instruction. It's also the final part. And then tomorrow we will have a wonderful day when we will sing it and go into the new year. In Germany they say Guten Rutsch. It means you just slide into the new year like you slide down a slide, you know. So we will slide into the new year with the holy name and with the idea. But I think I'm saying something which Guru Maharaj should say. So good. As you will accept this there will be a devotee who will give you Govardhana Mahaprasad, a special Mahaprasad which was offered to Giriraj just a few days ago, and he accepted the Mahaprasad. It was a very transcendental Hare Krishna. See you tomorrow. Good night. Hare Om.